you go to the first slide?
Thanks.
Thanks. Okay, so this is a list. Was there what? This is the first important slide. Okay, so this is the next update to the protocol draft. This is a summary of the changes. There was quite a few textual changes. I'll mostly focus on the major changes that relate to how the spec works. So for the protocol updates, there was we took a look through the list of issues that were noted by Peter, I believe, for application area or things that we should consider in application area specs. So trying to address a couple of those, so certain rules for the encoding of identifiers. One is a little bit more interesting for PIDs. I'll talk about that in some more detail. We fixed some typos. Actually, this came from some people who were actually trying some earlier implementations, so it's great that people are catching these. For redistribution, we revised quite a bit of it to hopefully clarify how it works. And one of the feedbacks from the last IETF was how we do signatures and signing. So I'll talk about that a little bit later. And we also have a mostly filled out IANA consideration section now for defining a registry for cost types. There are certain feedback questions on that a little bit later. And at the end, there was a bunch of text that looked like it was spilling over into some of the other documents. So for example, text related to how you might do peer selection. I think a lot of that probably relates to some of the drafts that we'll see later today. And hopefully this stuff can be put into other more appropriate documents in the near future. All right, so for PID naming, there has been discussion about supporting a hierarchical form of PIDs. When it comes to specifying this yet, it's not quite clear some of the implications of doing this and how we might define things like costs. So the current approach we're doing is we're going to leave a when it comes to naming PIDs, we're going to allow a separator character to allow hierarchical PIDs to be defined later, but we're not going to define how they work now, and we're not going to support them in the protocol for now. But we'll leave it open for PIDs to have a separator for if they were to be made hierarchical in the future. Next slide. Okay, so I talked about this a little bit at the last meeting, so I'll very briefly introduce what the problem this is trying to solve. So there is a section related to what we call a service ID for Alto redistribution. So the basic problem is you have two different Alto servers. They can be serving identical information, meaning if any client were to ask a query of either server, it would get back the same answer. So if you have two clients who are querying each server, client A query server A and client B query server B, you'd like them to be able to redistribute the Alto responses amongst each other. So basically we have to let the clients figure out that they are indeed getting the information from the same server and that it is safe for them to redistribute the information amongst them. So we introduced a way to do this called service ID, which is an ID asserted by the Alto network or the Alto provider, an ID configured at each of these servers, indicating that they are indeed the same. So if they have the same service ID, then they should distribute identical Alto information. All right, next slide. Okay. All right, so currently we define this as a UUID that's configured at the Alto servers. Originally the spec said that each one has to have the same private key. There was issues that were identified with that in the last IETF for making it difficult to or provision keys. So ideally each one should be able to have a unique private key. So we've changed it to use a certificate chain. So each server exports a certificate chain. And if an Alto client wishes to determine whether they are actually the same, whether they are indeed serving identical information, the certificate chain should have a common root. So that's the check. And then you can provision new private keys to each Alto server individually. Next slide. All right, so this is the one where I think we particularly need feedback. All right, so for cost type registry, we had defined one cost type in the protocol thus far, which was called routing cost, which The basic interpretation is it's a relative metric saying I prefer this one x times more, this path x times more than another one. And there was a simple rule saying it, a lower cost is better and a higher cost is less preferred. So there were certain semantics that are inherent in defining this cost type. So if you're defining, and if people are proposing other cost types, it would be nice that Alto service providers know how they should set these costs, and from the application side, how do they interpret these costs. So for doing a cost type registry, what is currently listed for how the for things to be listed in the registry are the identifier, basically a string identifier for it, the intended semantics, so how service providers should configure such a value, what do they need to keep in mind for doing it, what are the rules, and how and what applicants should and should not be expecting from a particular cost value. And also security considerations. For example, if a service provider were to generate costs of this type, do they have to keep in mind certain, or what kind of information are they exporting on their privacy? What kind of information are they exporting about their topology? So if anything about that is known, then it should be stated in the registry. And currently, it's defined to require an expert reviewer to make sure that these are in line before before a new cost type is registered. And hopefully, this will help and to avoid duplicate registrations, making sure that we have a nice, clean registry for applications to look at. Some of the questions are: one is this a reasonable approach to doing the registry? And second of all, making sure that we get the actual language or instructions to IANA correct in the draft. The second one could probably be addressed more on the list, but for more general comments, it would some of those would be nice as well. I think, is there one more? Or no? Okay.
Peter St. Andre. Registries are good, I think. You know, we've got the information out there. People can discover this. They're not just guessing about what some providers are putting out there as their cost types and, you know, trying to reverse engineer it. And I don't think, IANA will take care of it for us. We'll need to assign an expert reviewer or two, you know, maybe a primary and a backup, that kind of thing. But I think it's pretty low overhead to get that done, and it's good to have that information out in a public fashion that the IANA can keep track of.
Okay.
Any other thoughts? We are deciding the way to go. This is quite the right moment if you have thoughts on this. Okay, registry is fine.
All right, so there are some remaining issues in the draft. All right, so V4, V6, there wasn't any formal work on this thus far, so what I'm proposing now is two alternate solutions. It'd be nice if there's comments that sort of lean us in one way or the other, or maybe we have a new other approaches that we identify. But it would be nice to put something on this in the draft very soon. So the two approaches that I've called out here are, one is let us, so we're thinking about this at a conceptual level. We'll get to encoding later. Let you provide a cost from any V4 address to any V6 address. Because some of this can actually affect the path through the network, right? So if a provider wishes to indicate a preference for which address, whether you're reaching over V4 or V6 endpoint, then let them communicate that to you. The other alternative is completely separate the two address families. Basically, have two separate network maps, two separate cost maps, one for V4 and one for V6. And leave it entirely up to the application to decide which one should be used. And that decision will be done outside of Alto. So this can either be done now or we can get feedback on the list. And it looks like Martin has.
I want to give feedback. Martin Stimmerling. Yeah. So I would suggest to go for option two, actually. Because at least from, let's say, what I see today from P2P applications, there's not too much V6 deployment. Okay, this might be a bad reason because there might be IPv6 very soon. But I think for the applications, both are living in like separate worlds. And I think you're just complicating things without knowing where you actually go if you make like V4, V6 combinations in the guidance. So I would say better think clean, say, okay, you get like definite V6 guidance and definite V4 guidance, but you don't mingle them.
One comment to that is that keep in mind this is still from the standpoint of a single Alto provider, so they're still only taking into account information on their own network and whatever they know about, for example, their peers. So they're not necessarily required to know the whole path through the network. The same, they're operating on the same subset of the topology that they would be otherwise.
Rüdiger Volk. Well, okay, I think asking for preferences between the address families is kind of weird. The more interesting question, based on complete ignorance of the current state of the protocol, is, well, okay, if I have a client that actually has both address families, do we have a way to ask what is the preferred thing?
We don't right now.
That could be actually a more interesting question.
Does it depend on the destination, right? Not only the local address, right?
Yes,
so,
sure.
Right. So to me, it sounds like if we're providing that, it sort of tends towards option one.
The idea of the question was, well, okay, I have a client, well, okay, someone who wants to draw a service, and that is enabled for both address families. Mm-hmm. And, well, okay, the service might be available on both address families. And
okay, so you're...
giving a preference back, which one is better? I think in the dual stack and transition world actually is a relevant question.
Okay.
This is Spencer Dawkins. So if you were a dual-stack client, would you expect the dual-stack clients to query for both address families and then see which like one they like better?
That's one approach. I think what you're suggesting is you say, what's the preference to reach it over V4 and what's the preference to reach over V6?
Right? Okay.
And then you say, and if the provider were to tell you, or the for example, the cost for the V4 one is lower, I will choose the V4 endpoint.
Okay. I'll stop from there. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Okay, so I guess we had, it's sort of inconclusive at this point. All right, so I guess we can follow up on that for the list. The other ones, two new items are, one is in the IANA considerations, make sure we register the message header field for that we're using for redistribution. And the other one is the exploratory draft of the sketch for the RESTful Alto protocol. There hasn't been an update on this one. It doesn't appear that there's a huge push from the working group to do this unless people want to comment otherwise. So the proposal that I would make at that point is to continue with the current protocol unless people really see a need to do this at this point.
Dave Harrington speaking as AD. Fair warning, I pay a lot of attention to what's in scope of the charter and what is not. So before you try to take on something as a working group task, you should consider whether it's within scope of the charter or not. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean that if it's not, you can't go write individual drafts. But
right.
You know, if you want to try to do this as a working group thing and talk about it in working group meetings, right, you're probably going to have to deal with me if you're spending time talking about that and not talking about your chartered work.
So the underlying thing is how we structure the encoding and the message flow between the client and the server. So so it's how we structure the protocol and not necessarily the information communicated by the protocol. So I think one of the discussions... go ahead.
Okay, I'm your new AD. I'm going to send a notice out to let people know how I work, okay? If you have technical discussions to make, technical decisions to make. That's why we have a working group.
Right.
It's not why we have an AD. Okay. We have an AD because we have a charter. And the charter has gone through IESG review, and the IESG and the working group community has reached an agreement as to what work is going to be accomplished in this working group.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my job is to make sure that this working group concentrates on what they're chartered to do. Okay. What your technical decisions are, I probably will try to stay out of as much as possible.
Okay. Understood.
Dave, this is Scott Bradner. Dave, I trust that doesn't mean the charter is immutable, meaning that if indeed something comes up that is justifiable extension, that you will be receptive for a discussion.
I will be receptive to a discussion, but I will probably, depending on how far out it is from what is in the charter, I may want to take it to the IESG before approving that the work be done. If it's a very simple extension, I believe I'm empowered to do that without going to the IESG to do so.
And I'm sure this is a discussion that we can have, Dave, offline.